Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank all of you all for joining us live on this broadcast week in and week out for nearly 6 years. We've done well over 650 shows, and we're constantly coming to you every week. And I want to thank my faithful group of listeners that tune in each and every week. Thank you so very much. And I trust that you will tell your friends all about us. I trust that you will continue to listen, enjoy the broadcast, go into the archive shows. I encourage you to do that. Every show that we have had over the air is available in the archives, and that's well over 600 shows, as I tell you. So you can certainly go in at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com to check out the show. You can also listen live just by simply calling 347-857-1769. You can do that on all occasions. We are there. I also want to let you know that I have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? It's called, once again, After the Passion, Now What? It's available at Amazon.com, and it's also available on my website at drjessewalker.com. You can certainly get your copy. It's available in ebook format as well. Tonight we're going to do the show a little differently. I know last week we did, does the absence of a father in the home really make a difference? Does the absence of a father in the home really make a difference? And we've had several of our callers that actually listen to that show that have contacted me and given me their off-the-air opinion. So I found that to be quite interesting. But I want you to know that you can certainly go back in and check that out by simply going to drjessewalker.com. pulling up the archives, and you'll be able to see that. All right, we're getting some noise in the background. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but this studio picks up every sound. So we're going to also look forward to bringing in my co-host, Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, are you on the air, online?
Yes, I am, Dr. Walker. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes, I certainly can hear you now. Blake is the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. She's been on the air with me for a long period of time. Ms. Blake, how long, as a matter of fact?
I don't know, but I know I've been co-hosting probably over a year, maybe a year and a half
now. Yes, and it is indeed a pleasure to have Ms. Blake on the line as my co-host. She is fantastic in the things that she does. She's also an author, a life coach. She has a number of hats that she wears, and she wears all of those hats quite well. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you an opportunity to go ahead and do your commercial and let the people know who you are and how to contact you and everything about you that you want them to know. Okay, Ms. Blake.
Sure, Dr. Walker. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm actually calling in from South Carolina today, enjoying some beautiful weather here. And I've already been getting texts that we're going to have some callers that are going to be joining in to listen to tonight's exciting show.
Okay.
But just to let you know briefly. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said that there were some callers that were going to be featured. Okay.
Calling in.
Right.
I just got a text. It was coming through as I was speaking to you that they will call in to listen in. So we're excited about all of our callers that listen in on a weekly basis. And just want to tell you about my ebook, Dying to Wake Up. I think I may mention of that on a few shows. I'm very excited about this novel. It's my first attempt at a novel. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but I'm a playwright before I was an author. And this novel will take my playwriting skills and my writing skills, and it combines it into one. Hopefully, awesome book.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome. So I encourage our listeners to support Dr. Walker, first of all, and of course myself. And the ebook is called Dying to Wake Up. It's written under the pen name of Marci, C-I, which is my pen name. It's actually part of my middle name. And you can just go to Amazon.com. It's only $4.99, and you'll get a lot for your money. The other thing, Dr. Walker, I want to share with our listeners, as you said, I am a certified professional life coach. My focus is stress reduction. I cater to high achievers out there who are doing it big and making it happen already, but you're stressing yourself out doing it, whether you realize it or not. And your body is giving you those warning signs. And I want to make an offer tonight to our callers or listeners that I am offering two listeners basically a complimentary set of sessions. I never do this, okay? But I've been talking to some of my staff, and they have kind of encouraged me to put that out there. As a gift to people, because I'm sure there are two people out there either listening or they know somebody who is stressed out, and you might say, well, I can't afford it. Well, to these two individuals, you don't have to worry about affording it. I will actually give you several weeks of my specialized platinum package in a complimentary, and that's free of charge. How do you get it? Just give me or my staff a call at 770-866-2162 or visit my website at fosterandreaders.org. That's it.
Okay, that is great. I want all of you all to know, please support Ms. Blake and her endeavors. She is really good in what she provides in all of her services, her life coaching, as well as an author. And I encourage you all to visit her website and check out her book.
Dying to Wake Up.
No, Dying to Wake Up.
Falling in Love with Me. I haven't said much about that tonight because it's in production. The second edition is coming out, and I will let you all know when it hits the stores.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So, Ms. Blake, just give us a synopsis on what you thought of last week with does the absence of a father really resonate? Does the absence of a father really make a difference in the home?
I thought that was an awesome show. Actually, I was trying to go back and listen to the recorded broadcast, but the input and the comments we received were very profound, and there were variations of opinions, which we love to hear that because we don't think we know everything. Dr. Walker and I don't begin to pretend to have all the answers.
Absolutely not.
People are still talking about that show.
They are. And I was saying just before you came in that a number of people have called me and mentioned about that show, and I'm certainly redirecting them once again to listen to the show in its entirety, and those that have missed it, they wanted to know a lot about it, and those are the ones basically that I've directed to tune into that broadcast. The absence of a father in the home, it can certainly make a difference, and then I just want to touch on that. and by saying that, you know, it has to be the right father in the home that makes all the difference. And Ms. Blake, you may recall us mentioning that not just any man in the home would do, but the right man that makes a difference, the role model in the home.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, someone was just talking to me today, and we were talking, and they said, well, what was the show about last week? I didn't get a chance to tune in, and I was telling them, and they had comments about the importance of having a good father in the home as well. And this was a single mom raising sons, so definitely. And I think one of the things that was profound, Dr. Walker, is we said that it was, to me, we said it was equally important the father's role in the sons and the daughter's lives.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The male can make a difference, and I think it was intended to be that way, to see how men operate and to see how women operate, you know, not only just for that one gender, you know, the son, but also the daughter and then vice versa. Because you need that, you know, and then in the absence of that father, you know, being present or that mother, there needs to be a component where someone can actually demonstrate themselves to be a role model in the home. And I think that that becomes very important for both genders, you know, that children can actually have an opportunity to witness. So that becomes very important. Are you ready for tonight's broadcast, Ms. Clay?
Oh, very excited. Extremely excited about it.
Before we go into a little, we're going to go into a short story momentarily, but what we're going to do first is we're going to go into just asking some questions tonight. And one of the questions is on, because tonight is relationship maintenance. That's the topic for tonight. Relationship maintenance, how to keep it together, but it's going to basically center around open mic, which we want to know what's on your mind. And so we're going to encourage people to send in any question that they want, any question that they have on their mind that they would want answered. That's what we're encouraging you all to do tonight, to send that information in to us so that we can process it over the airwaves. And we may not have all the answers, but I can assure you we will perhaps find some answers together that may prove beneficial to people in their relationship. Let me just ask you, Ms. Blake, if you know, you're out there quite a bit talking to people, what may be one of the common questions that a person may ask in terms of something to do with a relationship issue? You know, what comes to your mind?
I think that, and I constantly have this discussion with males and females, and that question is anybody really faithful out there in the dating scene?
Okay. I mean, you know, that is a very good question. I get that question all the time as well. Is anybody really faithful out there? You know, and it's not just the men anymore, but it's the women as well. It seems
that
it seems that people, for whatever reason, are just getting frustrated with their relationships, the complacement of it. And they're just looking outwardly, you know, and just like going free falls. What do you think is going on?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, which is a mecca for black urban professionals. And so it's not a shortage of meeting people. If anybody said there's a shortage, you have not been to Atlanta. But the issue, and I'm hearing this from the male side, they're like, you know, these women, they're just playing games. They want to play you. And I'm like, really? Now, isn't that role reversal? I'm hearing this from frequently. I talk to people because I always tell people I co-host the radio show and I'm out and about and we get into these conversations. And the other thing I'm hearing on the male side, which I don't, hopefully is not a popular perception, I've had one male to tell me, well, it's like this, y'all might as well learn how to share because either you're the one getting cheated on or you're the one he's cheating with. And I'm like, I don't think so, you know, but that is a perception out there.
Right. And it is out there. You know, that is out there, and that's what's going on with a lot of people. I mean, they're just, it's the roles are just reversing. Things are just happening that's so different. And you begin to wonder why. You know, there's a breakdown somewhere. A breakdown that's caused here for people to go out there and decide that they want to do something else. Let's get another perspective. Let's go to the phone line. We're going to go
sure.
to, looks like 205-908. You're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
This is Jack.
Jack, thank you
welcome
for joining
back,
us.
Jack.
How y'all doing?
Yes, welcome back.
We're great.
Sounds
Jack,
good to
you
hear your voice.
It's very good to hear yours as well. Jack, tonight is open mic relationship maintenance. Let's have your thought. Is there a question that you have in mind? What's on your mind? Is there a relationship question you have pondered or you know of someone that's pondered and you would like to maybe get an opinion on it?
You're talking dealing with a relationship?
Yes.
Give me an explanation of what love is. That's what I want to know. What's your explanation of what love is?
Wow. Wow. Well, that can be very broad. But you know what? I think it's a good question because I think a lot of people need to know what love
mm-hmm.
is. And, of course, it's a subjective sort of question if you ask me. But I came up with something. I tried to wrestle with something for years, and I wanted to know that very thing. And I came up with something that I thought was interesting and made sense to me. And, of course, everybody may have their own interpretation. We'll ask Ms. Blake as well. And then I'll even come back to you, Jack, and ask you, what do you think love is? But for me,
okay.
it was the giving up of oneself, the giving up of oneself for the satisfaction of another and or others, however maintaining your spiritual beliefs. And that's what my definition of love was. It was about making a sacrifice. And when I think about that, I think it came from a spiritual base of where Christ gave up himself for humanity, you know, and so I associated that with love, the giving up of oneself for the satisfaction of another and or others. And, of course, that's very broad. But within that have certain components to it, which can be your feelings. You know, Christ felt a certain way about humanity that he chose to give up his life, to make that ultimate sacrifice. And so that, to me, is my definition of love, and which has components with it. Ms. Blake, let me go to you. What is your – how do you define love?
Okay, interesting you asked that, Jack and Dr. Walker, because I am reading a profound book right now that many of you may have already heard of, and it's called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, and I quote it a lot even in my book. And so love, I'm going to start off by saying love is the opposite of fear, and that may be deep, but we are born with love, and love is such a powerful thing, and it does manifest itself in many forms and feelings and kindness and what we tend to call the fruits of the spirit. But love is an action word. It's internal. It's expressive. And God is love. God epitomizes love. And, so I know I said a lot of stuff, but the thing that I'm focusing on these days is that many of us have lost that love. We don't know how to reclaim it, how to express it, and how to receive it.
I think that is interesting. That is interesting. And that is a lot. It's a mouthful from what both of us have presented. Jack, let's go to you and ask you, put the question back to you. You know, how do you interpret love?
Well, I have my own definition, but I'm what you guys said is so profound. I mean, I'm in awe of what both of you guys have said. I think it's incredible the definition that you guys have of what you feel love is. But my definition of love is I believe that love is a principle. I think ultimately, as you said, Ms. Blake, that God is love. And love to me is, that's the extreme, that's that agape love that can only come from God. But then there's a love that he gives us to try to have for, now this is just my opinion, that he gives us to have for our mankind. But agape love is a love that we can't even compare with. But the love that he's given to us, more or less, it's a principle, I think. And what I mean by that is that it's internal, as you said, but it's a principle, because you don't cheat on your wife because of the consequences, but because of that internal belief that you have, that you don't want to do it because it's a principle thing, that's the reason why you're not doing that. So I think that love is basically internal, and it's something that you have to acquire. You're not necessarily born with it. You're not necessarily born with it. I think you grow to that. You grow to that point of, as you go through life, you learn certain things, and it causes you to have that internal love, which is a principle thing, and the things that you've learned over the years. And I think that's what love is, my definition of love.
And that's really great. And I just want to interject that a lot of times what we have done, especially people who are empty of that love, they've replaced that, or they've attempted to replace it with things. But things can't love you back.
Right. You know? That's right.
Right. You know, that becomes very powerful, especially when you talk about unconditional love. Love and unconditional love. I mean, it becomes very powerful. Let me share with y'all, before this comment, we're starting to get some comments in about tonight's topic, relationship maintenance, open mic, what's on your mind. And so let me read this short story that we have for the evening to start us, to kind of keep us going this evening, and time is already escaping us. But let me go ahead and read this quickly, and here, as soon as I can pull it up, all right, here it is. Xavier is having a difficult time choosing between three different women, one of whom he desires to be the lady of his life. The women are all aware of each other and vying for his love, attention, and affection by putting on their very best at all times, which makes it more difficult for him. Now, Xavier is very much aware of this and is finding it extremely difficult in the valley of decision. What advice, if any, would you have for Xavier? Now, here again, here's a guy. This is because tonight is open mic, and we're starting out with this story. Xavier, I don't think he wants to play the field anymore. What he wants to do is he wants to side on one of these three women, one of whom he desires to have to be the lady of his life. And all of these ladies are aware of that, so they're putting on their best foot, if you please, to their best efforts to make it their best face, their best personality, their best everything, because they want to be that chosen one. No question. So, Jack, let me just ask you, let me start with you and get a male's perspective here. Xavier is very much aware of this and is finding it extremely difficult in the battle of decision. What advice, if any, would you give to Xavier, on making a choice?
I've always said this, that you really don't know a person until you actually live with them, and then you find out all the do's and don'ts and everything there is to know about them, their personality, and who they really are. But in Xavier's case there, he can't do that because he's trying to decide on which one he's going to choose. But I would take them through the test of a lot of things, and just seeing exactly, where their head is. I mean, they're putting their best foot forward now, but I'm sure there's some kind of way that he can test their true love for him by not only asking them certain questions, but putting them in certain situations and see how they respond to it. I think that would be his best bet, because I know he's trying to decide on which one he's going to choose, but he's going to have to put them through a series of tests to find out which one is best for him. Well, his first thought is definitely to pray about it and ask the Lord to direct him. And then the Lord will direct him as far as giving him ideas on what he needs to do as far as putting them through the test.
Okay. Ms. Blake, what are your thoughts? I mean, here it is. There's three women putting forth best. I mean, and in this situation could certainly be three men putting forth their best to try to win the heart of a woman. I mean, what do you do? I mean, Jack, we appreciate your thoughts on, of course, praying about it first and foremost, and then putting them through a series of questions and tests. I mean, that's what happens even on those shows, The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. And I've even seen those shows when they get with that one person and then they probably cohabitate, like you're saying, you never know a person you live with. And then before you know it, they went through these 25 people and then they realize that is not the one that they thought was the one.
That's right.
That's all right, Dr. Walker. And I can't really give a non-biased answer on this one. You know, we all come from our different perspectives and backgrounds. And, you know, just sharing, I grew up an only child, so only children don't compete. We're like, we think we already is. You know, when you were describing the scenario, I was sitting here with what I call the duck mouth, like, whatever. You know, you must not know about me. But I believe that he is going to have to make a decision. I mean, let me just say this. If I was one of the three women and he said to me, well, you know, I got three women I'm seeing. All of y'all are beautiful. You know, I don't know who to choose from. I was like, well, let me just help you choose and eliminate myself.
You would eliminate yourself.
Because there is no competition, actually. But when you recognize that, then you come back and talk to me. And, you know, because you got to be a confident woman. And what I like, especially the older I get, is be your authentic self. Let him see all your crazy. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because when you get to be my age, and I'm 50 again, you're so confident in who you are, you want that person to love all of you. And so putting on that front and that act is just played out, you know.
Okay.
And for someone listening in their 20s, they're going to try to impress. Of course, you're going to look good, and you're going to, but you need to be real. You need to express your real feelings and your real opinion so he'll know what he's getting. And then when he makes that decision, he might be like, well, she's a little cray-cray, but I know what her crazy ways are, and I still love her.
Wow. You know, and that, I think that makes sense. I think it's I like what you all are saying, and being real and upfront with a person, and even eliminating yourself from the conversation, I think that becomes vitally important because, you know, I address that question to myself, and what would I do? And I would basically do that same thing, is help that person with their decision by saying to them, it's almost like with Solomon saying, you know, when the two women came to him and they wanted to, one of them wanted to split the child in half, and he said, you know, this can't possibly be the mother, then let the child go to this other woman. That's the mother, because she did not want to split up her child because of the love she had for it. And so I guess that's what made him so wise. And so when you take yourself out of it, you may end up being the very one that the person chooses. You know, so that becomes so important. But see, the drawback too is, if you're that person that's chosen, you don't want at the first sign, whether it's a man or a woman, you don't want at the first sign that you have an argument, and in the back of his mind or the back of her mind, she's saying, my goodness, I knew I should have chosen this other person over here. You know, so it is almost better to just let them go. I mean, this is just my opinion. It's better to let them go and have that other person, because the one thing you don't want is that becomes competition in his mind or in her mind. That, my gosh, you know, every time at the slight, I walk on eggshells because he's going to go this way or she's going to go that way. You know, it's better to have that peace of mind. You can't put a price on peace of mind. Jack, did you have something else you wanted to ask?
Yeah, I wanted to say that my sister had a situation like that. I don't know whether I shared that before, but she had two men that she was dating, but they didn't know anything about each other. So some kind of way they found out. So she had to make a decision one day. I don't know whether I shared this on your story, on your program or not.
I don't recall.
I
don't recall.
Right, but anyway, she had to make a decision. So what the men did, they said, well, we're going to help her make the decision. So what they did, they both, now she was dating them, but she was dating them without letting them know about each other. So as I mentioned, they found out. So one day they got together and they said, well, what we'll do, we will both visit her at the same time, so she'll know that we know now that she's dating two men. So she's gonna have to make a decision. So now, when they all met up together, all three of them met up together, she decided to choose one, and that other one said, "Now, whoever you choose, the other one is going to leave, and they're never going to come back." And when she made her decision, the other guy, he just left, and he never showed his face again. She doesn't even know what happened to him to this day. But I tell you one thing, she probably wound up regretting that decision that she made.
Your sister probably ended up regretting that decision?
That's correct. She probably regretted that decision that she had made. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the part that I'm saying. It is better, you know, I mean, and I'm not certainly speaking for everybody out here because I don't know what people's thoughts and feelings are, but for me, it would be better to give that person up and say, no, I don't want any part, like you said, Ms. Blake, I don't want to be a part of this competition because at the first sign of trouble, then it's going to be, oh, my goodness, I should have chosen this other person, so you help them out.
Right.
Let's go to phone line once again, 954-226. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, go ahead.
After this call, I have a comment.
Okay, all right, let's go to, who do we have on the line, 954-226?
This is Rose, Dr. Wilkins.
Rose, thank you for joining us this evening. Rose, what's on your mind? What do you want to respond to the thought?
As I was listening, I was saying, oh, my goodness, and I'm right there with Ms. Blake. I don't really feel too good that this young man has three ladies just kind of stringing along. And it kind of bothers me that they all knew about each other and they're competing. That's just pathetic, in my opinion. I could understand if he just had three friends and all they were friends because he's not ready for serious dating. But as he have his friendship with them, he is really, in his mind, deciding which one he wants. But they don't really, they're not really competing because they all know that they're only friends. There's nothing else but friends. And eventually he probably like one more and decide that, hey, I would like to be with her, you know. But they're all just platonic friends. You know, but knowing that they're competing, you know, I wouldn't be caught in that situation. I would definitely remove myself from that because I just wouldn't want him to choose me. And I just can't understand, you know, why women or anybody for that matter put themselves in that situation. But I'm just enjoying listening to everybody's view. And I just will keep listening.
Thank you, Rose, for that. But, you know, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you a chance to come in with your comment. You say you had a comment there.
Oh, I hope I can remember it. But I was really listening to – go ahead. I'll come back.
No, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I've forgotten the first one. But in listening to Rose, you're right. There is no competition. The only thing is, in speaking to multiple males, because like I said, I'm talking to males and females all the time, and, you know, one thing I will give, what's the gentleman's name that had the three women?
Xavier.
One thing I'll give Xavier, at least he told them. Because, see, this happens, I'm just going to keep it real with y'all on the air, this happens every day all the time.
I need this comment on
the
that,
The difference
too.
Is, the male normally doesn't tell the females that they want to meet. I write about that in my book. So at least he kept it real. You know, that's just another comment.
Right. And, Jane, we're going to give you an opportunity. Let me just say this here, just before you chime in, and we appreciate that. Response to Rose mentioning that the three ladies could be looked at as friends as opposed to competition. But, Rose, I just want to say, and you have a chance to read, but, and the fact of the matter is, it's not for a man. It's not just, these are not just my friends. You know, they are friends with some potential benefit, you know, and that's what the man is looking at it as. You know, now the women might think that they're just friends, but if there's any crossing of the line where there's flirtatiousness that's going on, and it's not only offered, but it's also accepted and returned, when it's reciprocated, then that's crossing the line. A friend is not somebody that's being flirtatious with you. A friend is not someone who's making innuendos that are sexual in nature, you know, and then you start to accept that. You know, a friend is somebody who respects your individuality and your sexuality and respects the fact that, okay, this is not where you're trying to go with them. Well, if we give you an opportunity to rebuttal, and then I'd like to hear Jack's comment, and then, what do you all think about that thought?
Okay. Now, if he's sleeping with all three of them, he's just wrong, okay? He's just really wrong. Now, I can go along with the fact that, okay, he met this one, he's going out with her, but he made her know up front that I am not looking for anything serious. I do not want to be intimate. I just want to go out and have a good time out sometimes. And he does that with all three. Whereas there's no attachment with any of them, okay, and they're not attached to him. They just all know that, hey, we go out once in a while. We have nothing intimate. He's not sleeping with any of them. I just think that's the proper way to do it until he decides, okay, because I think it's okay to date several people at the same time when you are searching for the one that you want to end up with. But I don't agree that you should be sleeping with them. When you are searching, you're really searching. You're not being intimate with anyone until you decide which one you want. So if that's what he's doing, then, you know, it's fine.
Well, if they're all... I have to say this. If they're all allowing him to have his cake and eat it too, what's wrong with it? I mean, what's wrong with him having his cake and eat it too? If they're all accepting of that now, you know, that's the part where I say if they're kissing him, you know, he's taking them to some nice places and, you know, those feelings start to come in. I mean, who's going to want to just hang out with their friend all the time when they're trying to get them a lady or even a man?
Well, I question their self-esteem. No, if he is seriously looking for someone to settle down with and he decides that he's going to have some dates with different ladies just to find the right one, if he has morals, then he won't be sleep. He should not. This probably sounds far-fetched, and I know that this is not what really happened most of the time. I still think you have some good people out there, and I want to believe that. So... if he is just dating without sleeping with them, then I'm all for that. If he's sleeping with all of them and they know it, then I question their self-esteem.
Jay, we're going to give you an opportunity to come in.
All right, yeah, let me chime in here. Yeah, I know ladies, you know, are very, very emotional, and I'm not meaning that in a negative way, and they look at things a little differently than men. But having three ladies and you saying that they're all of friends and they know about the guy, now you got to give him his props for sharing the information with them. But just like you're saying, Doc, you're saying that, you know, he's having his cake and he's eating it too. But now I think now it has to come to a point in his life. I mean, if he's a man, you know, who just wants one wife, he has to make a decision on which one he's going to choose. And I think the fact that it's commendable that he's already shared with them that there's three of you, but I have to decide on which one I'm going to choose. But you all are saying that the ladies are friends. Okay, now you can't be friends with someone who's after your own heart or someone who's after the man that you love. So there's no way you're going to continue to be friends, because if he chooses one of the others, you're going to be upset. Can you imagine how those ladies who are running for the beauty pageant, how they feel? I mean, what makes her so much more beautiful than me? I mean, they don't think that. They don't really think that. Even though they're congratulating him, but deep down inside, can you imagine how they feel? I mean, deep down
exactly.
inside, it's the same thing when you're playing ball. I mean, when that other team wins, you're sore because, you know, you didn't do what you knew you were capable of doing. So even though they're there together, all three of them are there together, I think that he has to make that decision, and those ladies should not tied to be friends, because eventually it's going to hurt whoever he chooses. The other two are going to be saddened by that, and then at
right.
that point they might become enemies at that point.
Right. Well, I think that what Rose was saying was the women are not friends with each other, but the scenario is not presented as such. The friendship is with the guy. These women may not even know each other. They're just aware that he's dating three women, you know, but they don't have a friendship. The women don't have a friendship. Rosa, is that pretty much how it is?
Oh, yes.
Okay. See, so they're friends with the guy, but the guy, they don't even know each other. So my position is, if this guy, I don't know many men, Rose, out there that, I mean, and I'm sure that there's the hope of what you like. But I don't know many men just going to, you know, unless they're taking one of their friends out, ladies, to just because he's depressed because some woman done broke his heart and he just needs a friend to talk to that, you know, a girlfriend to talk to, a friend lady to talk to. That's what I mean by that. Ms. Blake, help me out here. I mean, you're not a man. And Jack, as you're saying, what do you think, Jack? Let me get your opinion first. Do you think many guys are just trying to hang out with a woman that they're not trying to get with just as a friend?
No, men, some men now, I can't say all of them, I can't speak
right.
for all of them, but some men are like dogs. They just out to get what they can, you know, from a woman, and that's sexually, basically, or to just leech off of her or whatever. Now, I can't say all men are like that, but you have a lot that are like that, so.
Yeah.
And I'm a man myself, and I know that's not the role that I would play, even if I was a married, because I would want one lady. Now, I would date.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I would date. I probably have two. Mm-hmm. At the most, I would have two. But I would have to decide at some point. That's why I'm saying to you, the type of person that I am, I would have to take them through a series of tests because you really don't know a person until you stay with them. But I would have to try to go from a different angle. And as I said first, the first thing I would do would pray, and I believe that the Lord would direct me, this is the one, okay? But then my heart might be stuck on the other one, okay? Just like Rachel and Leah. Okay, he wanted Rachel, but he was given Leo first, so he wanted to marry him both of them all. But I would have to decide on which one I want. Then I would give them a series of tests, and at that point, I would go with it. I would follow my instincts at that point.
Jack, I have a question for you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just said that if you were single and if you were looking for someone, it's a possibility that you might date two, but at some point, you would have to choose one. Question
is,
during the dating stage of both of them, would you be sleeping with both of them?
Would I know? That wouldn't be a determinant factor because of what I know now. Now, see, my mentality is different than, I want to say, the world's mentality because of who I am and what I stand for. So I wouldn't want to go down that road. Even though, you know, I know things are tempting, you know, things are tempting, but you don't want to go down that road. So until it's the actual time for you guys to consummate your marriage, you don't really want to go down that road. Now, that's my take. Okay. That's
exactly.
My take. Now, I'm not saying that the thought wouldn't be there now, but I wouldn't want a long, long dating process, if you know what I'm saying. I wouldn't want that long, long dating process because the longer you wait, the more you're going to want to get engaged into that because
the
these are feelings God gave to us. Mm-hmm.
But because of your morals, you would not want to engage in both female. That's all I'm saying. That's all I was saying. That because of the morals, a man would need to choose one instead of sleeping with all three of them.
That's right.
If I can interject right here, and I try to keep it real, and I'm not saying that what you all are not saying is not real, but let me ask you this question, Jack. Are you over the age of 40, 45? Are you over that age?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so then, Jack, and let's say you've been married for at least more than 20 years. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, yeah.
Okay, so, Jack, would you say that you're thinking now, over the age of 45, is perhaps different from the way that you may have thought in your early 20s? If you were dating these two women, would your answer be pretty much the same? Would your answer pretty much be the same, or would it deviate?
Well, I have to say that my answer would be different back then than it is now because of what I've learned over the years and who I am and what I stand for. I would have to say that it would have been different back then. I might have been like your average Joe Blow. I might have been like your average Joe Blow. Right, you said keep it real. I might have been like, and then after I did that, then I probably would have felt sorry after I had done it and all, but I probably would have been like your average Joe, You average your blow. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I understand. We've got some comments that we've got to really take in. Miss Blake, did you want to come in quickly?
Well, yeah, I've been kind of quietly listening. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that you asked me to help co-host this show is because mm-hmm. you probably realize that one, even though I am a Christian, I'm not ashamed of it for a minute.
Right.
But I also keep it real, and I don't try
right.
to
That's
fake
what,
it. Because
right.
there's too many people out there faking it and giving the, you know, this is the answer I'm supposed to pick on the test. Okay, that's
right.
nice. The answer you put on the test and you get 100 and that looks good in front of everybody. But God knows
me,
the
Blake?
Answer you really show
me?
Too.
Are you talking about
no.
me, Miss Blake?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. And what I'm thinking about in all seriousness that we can get to our comments is because I'm on, out and about every day, as you are too, I'm sure, talking to people uh-huh. out there. You know, I'm single again. And so mm-hmm. even though I'm older, I'm very in touch with those that are my children's age, those that are a little younger than me, and some that are older than me. And, you know, people out there who are single, I'm keeping it real. That's not happening. Now,
right,
you have
right,
a chosen
right.
few. You do have a chosen few, and I salute it. I think it's the way to go. We've got to be the example for others.
Absolutely.
But the people listening out there don't need to feel like, wow, I'm different, as it's all said. You know, no, you like everybody else. And that everybody's just out there acting like they're not different. Okay? This is RGB, your life coach, keeping it real. And I want to say one other quick thing. Women
All
are
right,
doing
go ahead.
This, not me. Let me disclaim it. Definitely not me. But I'm hearing this from men, that women are doing what men used to do. They got a man to take them out to do this, a man for that, a man to do
right.
this with a man for that. Because they can't find one good man, so they got a whole composite going on, which I think
that's
is not necessarily good either.
Right.
Can I chime in?
Can I
take some of the comments that are coming in? Well, I have asked some ladies, I said, well, since there are so many ladies out there and there's not enough men to go around, how do you all handle that? And then they said that a lot of the ladies are sharing. They're sharing the men that are there. Now, I'm not out of touch of reality. It's just that, you know, my lifestyle is different. And like you asked that question
right.
you know, years ago, I would have been different. I'd probably been like your average Joe Blow, and I can say that. But
right
now it's different. But they are saying that they share. They share with
yeah,
married
that's what they're
women
doing.
And all of that. Right.
That's what that's what the women are now doing. And I've interviewed several of them as well, and that's what they're doing. And we may, Ms. Blake, if we can think about it, maybe we can find somebody that will come on the air that's anonymous and tell why they elected to share. Because I know we can find them out there. So that would be something for the future that we can do.
They are out
on.
There, unfortunately. They are out there. And I don't know, Jack was on the air when I said that I was speaking to a gentleman. And he always says, you know, either you're the one being cheated on or the one being cheated with. And I disagree
uh-huh.
with him because I know that there are women like myself who say, oh, I am not going to share you. You're going to need to make a choice or I'll make
uh-huh.
it for you.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
Right. And I think that's good. And that goes back to Rose speaking about the issue of morals and values. We're going to go ahead and take another caller real quickly. And then we got to get to the food report. We're going to go to 678-365. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker. What do we have on the air?
Hello, how are you? This is Q calling from Atlanta.
Okay, Q calling from Atlanta. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Do you have a comment, please?
Well, I actually had a question that you weren't able to answer last time I called some months ago. So I thought I'd
okay.
call and ask again.
All right.
All right. Here's a predicament for a lot of people.
Oh, give it to us quickly, if you would. Q,
okay.
All right.
I'll try to be very fast. Here's a predicament for a lot of guys. Love women, want to be with.
Wait a minute. Your phone, for whatever reason, your phone is very muzzled into the studio. We're not picking it up clearly. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on around
you. All right. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. I was trying not to have you hear all the loud trucks, but.
Okay.
Quickly, here's the question. A lot of guys want to be with married to ladies and what have you. But now here in America, we got it to where ladies don't necessarily appreciate these institutes of marriage and what have you. So the core question is, why should a guy get married now with all the you're not good enough, we got divorced because we grew apart, which clearly isn't in nobody's Bible. Why should a guy risk getting married? What is his benefit other than an order from his spiritual father?
Wow. I tell you what, why don't we do, because we've got a number. That's a very deep question. And because we've got a number of comments that are coming in, what I would like to do is, Q, let me ask you this. We can forego some of these comments. We have a number of comments that have come in, and we will try to address your question, which will take us probably the remainder of the evening for the program, or we can have you back as a featured guest, and we do an entire show on that. Ms. Blake, what do you think?
Well, I think, Q, we really do want to address your question because I hear that a lot, and I think it's great to devote a show to it. If you could come on and we can do a whole show on that.
What do you think, Q?
Absolutely. I'll give you my email real quick, and you guys can email me whenever you feel.
Okay, hang on 1 second. All right, they're ready to put it down in the studio right now. Go ahead, Q.
Yeah, I tell you what. Why don't, Dr. Walker, just because we have an international audience, Q, and I don't know if you want the whole world to have it.
All right, that's
why don't
I don't
you,
care. It's part of my company. It's part of the company I started, so it don't
okay,
matter.
No problem, then. Go ahead.
All right.
It's clean, classy. Clean, classy, with two Q's. Take out the C's, put Q's. Clean, classy.
Okay.
Q-L-A-S-N, Q-L-A-S-S-Y, at yahoo.com. Facebook and
at yahoo.com. Okay, we're going to devote a show that either myself or Ms. Blake will get back with you, and we will, and we, along with the producers, and we will tailor the show and have you as our featured guest. You will do that?
No problem. I'm open.
All right. How about
awesome.
Next week? They're letting me, my producers are letting me know right now that we can do that show next week if you'd like.
Well, Dr. Mm-hmm. Walker, I also think we have some other guests coming on, so maybe we can do a double dose next week.
Okay.
However
sounds
you
real
guys
good.
Want to do it, just send me something 48 hours before so I can clear.
Okay. It sounds real good. One of us will be in touch with you. One of my producers will.
All right.
All right,
we'll
thank
do.
You so much for your patience on that. And we're going to go right here now. We've got some comments that are coming in, and we're going to ask my listening audience if they would give, like, in 15 seconds or less, because I don't want to ignore the people that have sent in their comments as well. And we thank you for that. This lady writes in. She says, my boyfriend cheated with ex-girlfriend several times. I can't help loving him. What can I do? Jack, let's take you over to that one real quick. This girl's boyfriend cheated several times, but she can't help loving him. What would you tell her to do, if anything?
Well, if he cheats on her, she needs to look at it from a different angle and all and say that just to have to let him go. Because if he cheats on her, later on she's going to cheat on someone else.
He's going to cheat on someone else?
Right, he's going to cheat on something else. I think she should just let him go.
Oh, okay. All right. Rose, let me give you this one. This person writes in, she says, I'm still in love with my ex, but now married. What should I do? Rose, what do you think?
I'll take that one.
Oh, my goodness. That, you know what? She needs to forget about her ex. As Ms. Blake always say, he's an ex for a reason. Therefore, she needs to just forget about him and focus on the current husband and make this one work.
Okay. Jack, did you like that answer?
Yeah, somewhat. And I think she needs to tell her current husband that she's in love with her husband and let him decide on what he needs to do.
Okay. All right, Ms. Blake, should she even just tell the current husband that she's in love with her ex? What do you think?
Oh, no. That's my opinion. I know honesty is very important in a marriage. Maybe that's why I'm single. But because
okay.
It's just going to bring a lot of insecurities. But I think I agree. I think it was Rose that said she needed to give him the gift of goodbye in her head, her ex, and forget about him. You made a decision.
All right.
Keep on moving.
All right. Q, we're going to give you this one. Q, are you available? Maybe Q is not there. All right. Let me go to Ms. Blake on this one here. This person writes in and says, I've been dating this guy. Okay, this lady writes in, I've been dating this guy for 4 months. He has a one-year-old baby and a four-year-old with his ex-girlfriend. He claims it's over, but I'm not so sure. What advice can you give me? Ms. Blake, go ahead. Is he through with the other woman that's got the two babies from him?
We don't know that, but what I do know is that kid is 1 year old, and I always count up when I meet somebody, how many years for this kid is 18 or 21? Okay, that's a long time, sister. You might want to reconsider. That's all I'm saying, because, you know, you're going to have you have possible baby mama drama.
Okay, all right, because that is very young. Rose, we're going to give you this one. This person writes in and says, I've been seeing my ex-boyfriend, or this lady writes in, I've been seeing my ex-boyfriend for the past 6 months and don't want to break the heart of this good man I've been dating for 8 months. Okay, she's seen her past ex for 6 months, but she's been with this guy 8 months, despite not being in love with him. She's not even in love with the man. I could eventually fall in love with him because I don't want to revisit the roller coaster with my ex and miss out on a good thing. Wow. What do you say, Rose?
She's confused. She's totally confused. Now, if she does not want to revisit or go back on that roller coaster with her ex, why is she dating him? You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And she started dating her ex only 2 months into the relationship with the new guy. She needs to dump both of them and you know. Yes, obviously she's not in love with the new one, and the old one is a mess, too many issues. So she needs to dump both of them, find herself, before she start dating again.
Wow, that sounds like check yourself before you wreck yourself. Jack, we're going to give you the next one. This person writes, says, my children's father, a lady here, my children's father and I are divorced and constantly at odds with decisions for them. What can I do to make things easier? The kids are 8, 12, and 14, so they're at odds with the kids. What can she do to make it easier for the kids? You know, should she have a civil relationship with the ex-husband?
Well, they're at odds with the father, or they're at odds with her?
Her children's father. You know, they're divorced, so the children they're making. Obviously, they're always fussing, and they can't seem to make decisions about the children's lives. So she's asking for advice on how can she make it easier so that the kids won't be in the middle of this.
Well, that's her interpretation. Okay, I think she. Maybe when the ex comes around, maybe the children shouldn't be there, or she should have them to another room. That's just my take. I don't think they need to get involved with the mother and father or the ex, their affair. So she can tell, send them to another room or make sure they're not there, one of the two.
All right. I think, you know, in addition to what you're saying, Jack, I probably take it a little different perspective and say that she needs, her and the ex-husband, they need to sit down and reach a point of to be agreeable, even to be agreeable to disagree, and become civil. They need to become civil in this relationship so that they can have effective communication, whether the children are present or not. That's my thought. Ms. Blake,
I agree.
Just go ahead real quick.
I agree. Ditto. You ditto what I was going to say. Absolutely.
Okay. We've got about several more comments that have come in, and what we'll do is, because we're out of time tonight on tonight's broadcast, we will continue with these other comments for the open mic session relationship maintenance. We are clearly out of time now. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of my listeners, those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight. We apologize for that. Thank those of you all that we talked to, Jack Rose, that contributed to the dialogue tonight, and as always, Ms. Blake. It's a pleasure having you on the air with me week in and week out. So thank all of you all for listening and all my listeners around the world. And next week we've got a show that you don't want to miss. It's going to be coming to you, and we're looking to have a featured guest at that time as well.
Yes.
So until, and of course you can join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us once again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until either this Friday or next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.